Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The world is a cracked mirror, the sun a fluorescent light someone has left on as a prank in the lying sky. Your body says it's nighttime, the daytime says you're wrong. You're a stranger in a familiar land, parched with thirst and the lust for sleep. As Elon Musk buys Twitter, Kanye West buys Parler, you buy a bottle of water and scream at the soon-to-be-privatized void of space hiding behind the blue shell of the atmosphere, because actually, even though you're on Earth, nobody's listening to you scream unless you start a YouTube channel and become a screamfluencer. You take a deep breath, but before you let it out, you recognize that taste in the air. It's smoky, sweet, full of memories. It reminds you of The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the jokes, none of the politics. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle and John Luke Roberts. Hello.
Hi. Boo, 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 boo.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I mean, you said hi like you were starting a sentence.
Who did?
John
Me?
Luke. Yeah.
No, I just like taking up space.
Before we sit together shoulder to shoulder on the friendly bench that is this week's stories, let's have a look at the front page. Your front page today is James Corden posing provocatively with an egg yolk omelette. Did any of you see that story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first I've ever heard of an egg yolk omelette. I didn't think you could make such a thing. I would assume that would just be a slab.
Yeah, no, I think about it. It's because it's mainly like the white that holds the thing together, isn't it? It's the yolk for the flavour, the white for...
Isn't an egg yolk omelette just mayonnaise?
Yeah, or custard.
Oh yeah, it's weird how close mayonnaise and custard are to each other. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
They're cousins. They're cousins, John.
Kissing cousins. Put them on a sandwich together and see what happens.
That is incest. I don't like that at all.
No, I'm suggesting in bread, not...
In bread. Wait, that's enough, isn't it? We can end the podcast there. I think we've peaked.
The satirical cartoon this week is a Halloween-themed one. Boris Johnson rising from the dead while an everyman figure labelled the electorate scream, "Why won't you just die?" and hit him with a shovel marked his track record. Now it's time for your top stories this week. Is everybody strapped in and ready for the metaverse? This is such exciting news for me, I feel. The metaverse is a terrifying place that we could all have less of. Meta is the new Facebook, the old Facebook being the original and best place to find the people you went to uni with whose phone numbers have changed, the new Facebook being a clickhole of boomers and regime-shattering levels of misinformation and bot armies riding the algorithm to terrible minions memes. The new Facebook is Meta, selling you the possibility of never looking up from your phone again because it'll strap your phone to your face and you can live in the metaverse. A world that is everything you hate about social media, but you can't see the sun. It's like a game, but full of ads selling you one weird trick and you have no legs, and the legs they promised you were a lie. Alison Spittle, you live in an alternate universe made of code. Can you unpack this story for us?
So basically, Mark Zuckerberg, he's been promising that a metaverse will have legs, and he did it through a video of another person who works in Facebook. And what happened is they actually got the legs from motion capture. And the metaverse is not ready for legs yet, and it's very weird to me. It feels like it's no better than a Bratz doll, you know. At least with a Bratz doll, they have a... Have you ever touched a Bratz doll before, or seen it up close? They don't know.
Would I be talking to you today if I have? I'm no fool. I won't touch a Bratz doll.
Well, I've brushed up against a few Bratz dolls in my day.
That explains a lot.
Being a geriatric millennial than I am. And Bratz dolls, they have like interlockable feet, where the doll itself doesn't have feet. And you just attach the shoes like their feet. And so, like, the technology of a 99 Bratz doll is better than Metaverse. Also, Metaverse should just buy The Sims. Like, I don't understand. The Sims have legs. The Sims was invented in, like, the year 2000. And I can watch a werewolf woohoo with a vampire. And yet, in the Metaverse, it can't have legs. I think Mark Zuckerberg has got a thing or two to learn. Also, imagine being the person that works for Facebook that has to use the motion capture for your legs. Like, you're just running around like Andy Serkis with tennis balls on you for your boss, the Baron Mark Zuckerberg. It just feels like it's not a great place to work at all.
Well, it just feels like with $10 billion, you should get below the waist at least.
Is this what? The Metaverse, or...
Well, they've spent $10 billion this year alone on the technology for the Metaverse, yes. And also, if they haven't had legs up until this point, but they've also not had anything else up until this point. I think if I were, you know, we can all imagine ourselves being a billionaire. If I were a billionaire running a ridiculous vanity project that is definitely not going to work, I would have done, like, upper body, realised I couldn't animate legs, and then given everyone giant slug bodies, because who hasn't wanted to be Jabba the Hutt? Who didn't watch Star Wars and think, yeah, that's me? John Luke?
I don't have anything to add, partly because anything I would have said has sort of been covered, and partly because, like, who is this man? And why is he doing these things? I would like this. And you can't even with motion capture, you can't get legs looking good. It's two people dancing about looking a little bit surprised at their feet. And one of them with a colossally large skull, which cannot be supported by those tiny, tiny little animated toothpick legs. We're meant to buy this. We're meant to be happy in that universe and not sitting there going, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, obviously, the question that Facebook ask at every point of their progress is, what now can we next do to make the world a bit worse? And it's interesting to me that they finally got to the point where the answer to that question is legs.
Not just promise legs and under-deliver.
Yeah, imagine. And wait, also, one more thing. Did those feet come free with the Bratz dolls, or did you have to buy them separately? Like, were you just left with...
They came free with the Bratz dolls, but you could buy other feet, you know what I mean?
But the feet were inside the shoe.
Yeah, it was kind of it was very odd.
But you couldn't take the feet out of the shoes.
So you'd never really see feet. If you took the Bratz shoes off, right, you would just be left with two stumps at the bottom of their feet.
So if in the Bratz universe... Yeah. There was a Cinderella.
Yeah.
She would have dropped her foot on the stairs at midnight as she ran away.
It would have been horrific. It would have been...
But would he then have been able to actually attach that foot to any Bratz doll that he found?
Yes. Maybe, like a lot of old fairy tales, he just followed a trail of blood. You know? He would just... Where is she?
The prince licked at the trail of blood until it took him to the woman.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Ad Section Now t-shirt, because you can't be what you can't buy, and you can buy this merch. Or you can't, but you will be able to soon if I organise it. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Homemade Play-Doh. I should have Googled how you make it. Homemade Play-Doh. What you need is some all-purpose flour, cream of tartar, cheap table salt, vegetable or canola oil, gel food colouring, and about half a glass of water. Ah, you thought I didn't know where I was going, but I knew where I was going all along. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Melted Ice Cream, a perfect soup for making you realise that looks do matter. Ice cream, you wouldn't eat it if it wasn't cold. Unless you were very sad. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Memories. It's like now, but it was then, and your brain can vaguely visit it, but by no means as well as you think it can. Memory. Have you tried it before?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And now it's time for your gaming news. Gaming news now. Lab-grown brain cells can play Pong. This is the story. Arguably, it's contained in the headline. John Luke Roberts, you have a brain cell. Can you unpack this story for us?
That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Alice. So scientists working in collaboration with bioethicists, which is the French for organically made ethicists, they've got a bunch of brain cells together. They've put them in a little pot. They've tied them to a video game with some electrical string, or as you call it, wire. And they've made the brain cells. No, the brain cell has learnt itself, I think. They haven't taught the brain cell how to do this. The brain cells are playing Pong, the game where you've got two little white rectangles moving around, bouncing a ball around the screen. So that's what they've done. They have managed to cut the human aspect out of playing video games completely, so that basically video games become self-playing if you attach them to some brain cells. So that's going to save everyone a lot of time, and we can get on doing more work rather than playing those games that we've had to play.
The mini brain apparently learned how to play Pong in 5 minutes, which is depressing because I'm pretty sure it took me longer.
Yeah.
Alison Spittle, have you played Pong recently?
Yeah, I actually haven't. I did terrible at it. I'm very scared of stuff becoming sentient, but I'm very comforted that it's only Pong. If it could play Abe's Odyssey... I would be very afraid. That is a very, very hard game to play. Also, like, in this article, it discusses what sentience is, and it says that it's not quite sentient because it can't have feelings or sensations, which to me sounds like a billionaire who's not allowed crisps. You know, they can't have feelings, and they also can't have Walker sensations, Thai sweet chili. Because I'm sure if billionaires did eat crisps on a regular, it would be Walker sensations, because they're quite expensive. But yeah, I maybe they would have like a higher. I wonder what kind of crisps Elon Musk would have. Probably like communion wafers or something. Just stuff that you can't really get as a normal person.
Well, blessed by the Pope communion wafers.
Yeah, blessed by the...
Prawn cocktail.
Pope cocktail flavour, you know? So
Mark Zuckerberg just brushing the virtual crisp flakes off his virtual legs to
I mean, that is the great thing about eating chips in the metaverse. A, you can't taste them. B, you can't feel them. And C, you don't have to clean up the crumbs. They just fall through your empty holes.
They're trying to find out what a sentience is. I know what a sentience is. It's a collection of words which has a funny stirp at the end.
Now it's time for your reviews. Reviews section. As you know, each week we get our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. John Luke, what have you brought in for us this week?
I have a review of the 10 minutes before the podcast started when I realised that I had ground the coffee but not poured the hot water, that I had an egg frying, getting too hot for the kind of consistency of egg I like, also suddenly needed to go to the loo. And something else that had gone horribly wrong as well. But basically, I'd started about four different things, and then I had to do the second and third parts of those things. And then I got the microphone out and realised I'd stored the microphone really well and taken it apart. So I was running around these, like, getting the egg out, putting it on the sausages, coming back to the microphone to screw the microphone in before clogging the thing in. And then I had to, the kettle boil, so I had to go and pour that. And then it was all a lot rushed. And then I had to eat the egg and sausage thing, which I did very, very quickly, quite impressively, but did leave me in a state of alarm and panic. And it was the most thrilling start I've ever had to recording a podcast, so I'd give it 5 stars out of 5.
5 stars. I wouldn't... I mean, I feel like sausage and thrills are antithetical to one another. So I feel like sausage is sort of inherently the most calming of foods. No one's excited by a sausage.
Oh, like a second-wave feminist, you.
Alison, what have you brought in for us?
So I'm reviewing sangria, which is a beverage I had while on holiday last week. I thought I didn't like wine before, whether it be red or white, but I realised what I like is my wine to be chunky. And I just can't get enough of those chunks. It's amazing. It's an incredible beverage. You can get it almost everywhere in Spain. It's a bit of a risk to ask, actually, because, like, some, if they don't serve it, it's because it's a really nice restaurant and they're quite disgusted with you that you would want sangria with your food. But I just love to chew on something while drinking alcohol.
It's like a boozy version of bubble tea.
It's exactly like that. Isn't it? I mean, it's not as socially acceptable to drink on the street, you know, if you're just walking around having a sangria.
Jug in one hand, glass in the other.
Yeah, olé! You know, and they're like, what? It's like, but I really, really like it. I really enjoy it. I've never had a bad one yet. And love it. More sangria, please. It also, weirdly, is quite like sick in a comforting way. Like the way McDonald's is. Did you ever get that? Like a Big Mac has the flavour profile of vomit, but I like it.
Oh, I'm really scared that you're right.
You genuinely bite into a Big Mac next. It won't put you off. It will just make you accept puke more in your life. Genuinely.
Does that mean that there's something in the Big Mac which is already digesting it before you eat it? Like,
oh my God.
Like pineapple.
Like itself. Like Ron. I just have a vision of Ronald McDonald just eating himself. And
Ronald McDonald getting the burger out, taking the lid off, and then just some acid from his stomach just on top so it will start before he hands it over to the person who, shaking, comes to the front desk and gives it to you.
Are we all like baby birds? We're just holding our mouths open while our mum, Ronald McDonald, just vomits Big Macs. This is horrifying.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened. 5 stars.
5 stars, yeah.
I imagine that's why people debate about pineapple on pizza, because pineapple's the only food that eats you while you're eating it.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
Pineapple, the 69er fruit.
I did a podcast yesterday and pineapple came up, where this woman was discussing, she was talking about giving blowies, and she insisted that she would have pineapple juice before she gave blowies, and would say to the men, I'm doing this for you. And they would be like, what? And she did not get the understanding of why. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, she thought it made sperm taste better, but you have to.
Oh. Yeah!
You've never seen it, do
it. But I mean, it could do, because it probably destroys your taste buds. Like, I get, maybe she...
Well, also, it does mean, oh, you've got the taste of... Oh, would she drink it? She wouldn't, like... Oh, because I've seen her still holding it in her mouth. Well... Like, just creating a seal, you know, around there, and then holding around.
Well, in which case, I mean, gargling. If you're drunk, it's not going to affect the flavour unless you Ronald McDonald it.
Oh, please, I'm going to use Ronald McDonald it in every...
I understand her logic, though, because if you want chocolate milk, you don't feel chocolate to the cow. You put the chocolate in your mouth and then drink the milk.
Is she like raw dogging flavoured condoms by just bringing the flavour? Do you know what I mean? Like, somebody doesn't use condoms anymore but still wants the frill of like a flavoured condom.
No, you have to feed the condom to the man. If you want the taste of the flavour, he has to eat it. That's where the penis has to eat the condom.
I mean, by her logic, she'd be filling the condom with Smarties and then putting it on.
like a Smarties mule. Like he's trying to...
Ped is looking concerned.
This is all staying.
Nude news now. Nearly 7 million people in the UK identify as naturists or nudists. So if you're walking through the world looking at people in clothes, know that at least a certain percentage of them are unhappy to be there. Alison Spittle, you're wearing clothes. Can you unpack this story?
Yeah, so this story, apparently some organisation of nudists have done an online survey and said that there's been a big jump in people admitting to being nudists because you would admit to more stuff on the internet than you would if someone came to your house and asked you if you're a nudist, which I would love to be like a fly on the wall for the past surveys that the naturists have done. Where is this someone knocking on your door going, have you accepted your Lord and Saviour titties into your life, you know? It's just encouraging people to become nudists. Modern society is weighed down by a body confidence crisis and more people are discovering the benefits that nudity brings to mental, emotional and physical health by allowing us to reclaim ownership of our identities. I think before I was brought up Catholic and a real prude, and the older I'm getting, the more I kind of see nudism as something that's not a direct attack on me. Or and, you know, like before I'd be like scandalized by this, but I think the older I get, the more accepting I am. I would rather see someone's skin tags and nipples than see a game over married t-shirt. You know those t-shirts you see?
Oh.
Do you know what I saw? I live in Camden and I saw a t-shirt being sold that said, I can lose the weight, but can you lose the face? And the t-shirt was in an extra, extra small. And I would just love to know the person that bought that. Because, like, that is... I mean, number one, why would you manufacture something with that statement on such a small T-shirt? But naturism, they're a bit like the pro-life movement in the way that, like... The pro-life movement, their name...
Wait, I want to see where this is going.
Well, just to say that, like, the pro-life movement, their name is pretty positive. And you can't really just, you know... You can't... I'm pro-abortion. That's what I am as a person, right? But I would never say that I'm anti-life. So you can't really go, I'm against pro-life. You have to go, I'm pro-choice. And then for naturism, it's like, it's a lovely word for just getting your balls out, like in the fresh air. I mean, that's how I feel. Maybe that was a bit of a weird analogy, but like, you know, sometimes you hit and you miss.
I feel like there's not a lot of orthodox naturists. I feel like it's sort of a shame because you ought to be able to know what a naturist is. You ought to be able to know whether someone is a naturist by looking at them.
Well, no, because even then you could look at them and just not know whether they're a naturist or just forgetful.
John Luke, you've done nude comedy before, I assume. Can you unpack this story?
It's because of the clown school, isn't it? Actually, I'd like to go on record. No. I would always put a fake penis made of rubber balloons on over my real one because I thought that was funny. But it turns out most audience members do not look directly at the exposed penis, so they all thought I was naked anyway. So there we are. So being a naturist, as I am, presumably it's doing things naked. So doing things naked that people would normally do naked does not make you a naturist. So having a bath or banging. But the questions they were asking were things like, have you gone swimming without a swimming costume on? And like, have you been to an outdoor naked beach? But nothing like, do you play snooker in the buff? And how much cooking do you do without clothes on? Like, can you be naked in your own flat if there's... Can you be a naturist in your own flat if there's no one else there? Or does that just count as... Is that normal?
So I used to live in a one-bedroom flat, and it was mine. And in my conception, the flat was my clothes.
Did you stick your arms like out the windows?
Yeah, well, so I felt like, you know, this is my space. I don't need to wear clothes in this space. But then if I invited someone around for tea, I realized that I was so habituated to being like at least semi-nude in my own space that as I walked in the door, I was unclipping my bra. And I was like, this is the wrong message to be sending.
Oh, you mean with them walking in behind you?
Yeah.
What you should have done is made them like, they should have gone in, taken their clothes off, gone into the flat next door. You're both in clothes, speaking across the hallway.
Yeah. Alaskan crab news now. This is the sad crab news that Alaska has cancelled its snow crab season after a snow crab population collapse. Normally they have a winter snow crab season and now it's not allowed. Now it is not permitted to hunt the precious snow crab. Jean-Luc, you do this with your hands a lot of the time. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes. I mean, it is quite a sad story that for some reason the snow crab population has... There was a boom, but then it collapsed the following year. They thought they were going to have a huge peak and they've all gone. And so now they're banning the normal season where people go and hunt the crabs, and a big crab can sell for $100 or something like that. But I will say I misread this and thought that crabs had been cancelled. So I have a list of reasons why.
Amazing.
You would cancel crabs. Bad at typing. They do not appreciate jokes like make it snappy. They're always giving it all that, which is another joke they wouldn't appreciate. They have a lot of legs for very little height, which seems silly. They, although they have 8 legs, they cannot make webs. They're very defensive. They pinch things a lot. And honestly, like, which one do you want? Sea or land? Pick a side, guy. So that's how I feel about crabs. And 100% of crabs are naturist.
That's true.
Depends if you count the shell. Is the inside or the outside?
No, well, that's the skeleton on the outside. So if anything, they're even more naturist than human naturists.
Crabs walk sideways, don't they? Like, that's another big part of the crab mythology.
Well, it depends if on whose perspective you're looking. If you're a crab, maybe we walk sideways.
Maybe that's true, but I think they'd be great on a comedy panel show about politics, because they could have a sideways look at the news. You know.
Other than the fact that everything evolves to become crabs eventually, so I feel like we don't need to be too worried about the collapse of this population. I'm just looking for reasons not to be too worried about the fact that the world is a disaster right now, that in Australia we're currently having more flooding, but it's not news because it's flooding on top of the places that were already flooded. We're having our third round of La Nina, which means, again, like, no bushfires, but more floods. And I just don't know how many more floods you can have before we're all just standing in the ocean and we have to admit that we don't have a country.
Genuinely, I had this realization in this podcast. The world is absolutely boned, because if you're a megalomaniac billionaire and you want people to love you, you could save the world. But they're not doing that. They're putting legs on avatars and... buying Twitter.
And they should be putting legs on crabs.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. I've kind of accepted it. Or maybe I'm a bit too accepting. But if billionaires are farting around doing really, really silly stuff when there's very, very serious stuff, maybe the serious stuff isn't fixable. And maybe we should all just be silly. I think that's what I'm going to be doing. I was thinking about this the other day. I got locked outside of my chalet in Spain. And the electric turned off and it was just fully blackness everywhere and it felt very apocalyptic. And I left a jar of Nutella out on the patio and I just put my fist into it and ate it off my hand and looked at Twitter. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do when the world ends. Is I'm going to self-soothe by eating stuff out of jars and just talk shit on Twitter.
A beautiful communing with the cosmos thing, and then and then there's a jar of Nutella and Twitter's appeared in it.
Yeah.
I thought, look up, the stars.
And I'm like, no, I want to see what an all yolk egg omelet looks like, and eat my feelings at the same time.
Those aren't your feelings. That's Nutella.
I know.
Yeah, they make it without palm oil, but with your feelings. I think that's why it's so delicious when you're sad. That is all the time we have for the show. We are flipping through the ads at the back. Alison Spittle, have you got anything to plug?
I do. I'm on tour. So the 5th of November, I'm going to be in Dublin. And then I'm going to different places in the UK. I'm going to go to Edinburgh, Glasgow, Newcastle, Belfast, Brighton, Warwick, Manchester, Leicester at some point as well. You can go to my Instagram. I've got a link tree in the bio. You can go to my website. I'm going to sort that out today. And Yeah, come see me on tour and listen to my podcast, Wheel of Misfortune. I'm recording episodes now and it's coming back. Very excited.
What should people see of yours, John Luke?
I think I've sort of got one last run out in the UK for my Edinburgh show, A World Just Like Our Own, but in February. Brilliant. Over Valentine's Day in London. I'm making a documentary for Radio 4 about Infinite Jest for a thing called The Exploding Library, which I think is out at the end of the year. So listen to that when it comes out. It should be quite fun, I think.
Also, you have an album on sale on your website.
Oh, I do. I have an album called This Is Better, which I made during lockdown, a whole show just made for, especially for vinyl, with a brilliant musician, John Chambers, which I think the easiest place to buy is to go to Monkey Barrel's website, monkeybarrelrecords.com, and order it from there.
I'll be doing Kronos live in Brisbane on the 12th of November at Good Chat Comedy. I booked one solo show. I've not done a solo show in Brisbane before. It's a little experiment to see if people come out and watch me. If you do, then I can come and visit my twin, Moore, who lives here in Queensland. So please share that with your Brisbane friends so I can visit my brother. I miss him. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's alliterative. Or patreon.com/AliceFraser, which is a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs. You get all my stand-up specials there for free. I feel like I should mention that more often. If you sign up to Patreon, you get all of my stand-up specials, and then you can just cancel it after a month. So you could sign up for $1 and get all of my stand-up specials, including Kronos. So imagine how much more comedy, one whole more hour, you could get for free on my Patreon. Thank you to our roving reporters for this week. C. Lips, Paul Crawford, Robert Sillitoe and Lockie, who sent the Pong-playing brain cells, and Andrew Jones, who sent in the Naturist's story. If you would like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers with a story that you think we might find funny in a way that we could make funny for you. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.